Alrighty.
Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, would you please join us with devotion? With Mark Bryant.
Good evening, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us at Your Place Christian Church. God is exalted, and the Word is explained. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to join us, to bless us as we bless God. This evening we'll start off with song, then scripture, then prayer. Today's song will be I Love You. I love you, Lord, today.
I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul belong to you. You paid price for me way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you cared for me in such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with, that's why my heart is filled with, that's why my heart is filled with praise.
Amen.
Amen.
You have a scripture, Dr. Nook?
Our scripture is taken from Psalm 51. Verses 1 through 12. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. For I was born a sinner. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Don't take away your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you.
Amen, amen. God, we come before you now as humble as we know how to help. Lord, help each and every one of us under the sound of your voice be able to discern you, Lord, to open our eyes spiritually, open our ears so that we might hear, and we might be obedient to that which we understand. Help us, O God, as we're coming to you tonight to talk about, do we have the need to confess? Help us to trust you, to walk with you, to confide in you, and, Lord, to confide in others that might help us move towards where you want us to be. We ask these blessings now as we seek to uncover what you have for us this day in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say, amen.
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 Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight is the night. We have Dr. James Nooks, who is our instructor for the month of March. He has been doing a phenomenal job as we have been talking about the subject from to becoming a new creation. We started off with our foundational text being 1 John 1, 6-10. Our first lesson was last week. We talked about, do I need to repent? And this week we have a dynamic follow-up with the question, do I need to confess? And so without further ado, Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to lead us into tonight's session, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Amen. Yeah, my sisters and brothers, we're looking at from repentance to becoming a new creation because we want to look at some foundational things that are important to us as believers in Christ. We believe that Satan is busy, always busy, trying to deceive us, for he is the great deceiver. And we fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to be on guard and we need to understand what it is we're doing. And we looked like last time, and we're looking constantly at the issue of sin and do I acknowledge that I've made some mistakes and what am I going to do about it? And last week it was about repentance. But this week we're going to look at, do I need to confess? And to start things out, I'd just like to get some input from those that are on the line. First of all, who do we have on the line? I know we have Brother Bryant, Dr. Susie, and Brother Carter's on not being able to talk. He's at work. Who else do we have?
Brother Eric is here. We've got Brother Mark. We've got James.
Okay. Well, my first question before we begin our discussion and get into the Bible is it difficult to confess? And why? Is it difficult to confess? And why?
Well, Brother Dr. Nooks, this is Eric.
Yes.
The fact of the matter is that yes, because we don't want nobody to know what we've done or just how bad we are, or we think that, you know, for whatever reason, God really, really didn't see that. So it's hard to confess to others because we want to be private. And you know, we don't want nobody to know just how bad we really are.
Amen. Amen. What do you say about that, Brother Mark?
I totally agree. This is Mark. To confess with will require us to admit that there's an issue, there's a problem. Our nation has had a sundry numbers of things that they've done against so many people, but they won't ever confess. we have moved, we can't move forward. And we can't move forward toward God unless we initially confess our sin.
Amen.
This is Eric, Dr. Nooks, and Brother Brian is right, and I think there's a piece that we also miss that we kind of brush over broadly, is that when we have wronged someone else, we need to confess to them that we've wronged them and ask for their forgiveness. We can ask for forgiveness. We can ask the Lord to forgive us, but to truly be repentant of that situation, you need to go to your brother and say, "Hey, I've sinned against you. I've ought against you. I've done X against you, and I was wrong for that, and I'm sorry, and I'm asking that you will forgive me, so that true restoration, authentic restoration, can be accomplished." But we brush over that even in our churches when we talk about repentance and confession. We kind of brush over that piece, because how difficult is it for you to stand in front of that person that you've wronged, or you've slandered, or you've maligned, and tell them that you've done that and that you want them to forgive you?
Amen.
That's hard to do.
And I think the Bible speaks of not only going to your brother or acknowledging your wrong and asking forgiveness, but it also, now correct me if I'm wrong, it asks for that person, that figure is, to make recompense. And that's in addition to saying I'm sorry, recognizing that I was wrong. It also recommends that I need to make amends for the loss or harm that this person suffered, and in some kind of way make some type of compensation. It may not be in money, it may not be in other forms, but some type of recompense.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie. I just want to say right now, don't put me on the pedestal, because I'll be falling off in just a minute. And I was like,
yeah, we all will, Dr. Susan. We all will.
I know that's right. But this is a lesson I think that we all really, really, really need to hear, and we need to be reminded of. Dr. Nooks, I thank you for bringing this to light, because oftentimes I think we want to downplay it.
Amen.
I would agree, Dr. Susan. I would agree.
Amen. It's so hard, isn't it, for us to do this? And there's two types of confession, and we want to focus on the one that's confessing that we've done something wrong. But we also need to confess Christ, confess God. And that is a more positive confession, that we confess that God is, that Christ is our Savior, that God is our God. Then we have the confession that says, I've messed up, and I need to make recompense for it, like Brother Mark is saying. So I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans 10, verses 5 through 12. Can somebody get that for us? Romans 10, 5 through 12.
Okay, I can get it. Okay. Anybody else? I have it.
Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
We'll have the NIV version. You have the New Living Translation, correct?
Yeah, I do.
So, Dr. Nichols,
I've got that in the King James.
Okay.
Why don't we read two translations? Read the one you have, Dr. Susan, and then read the New Living Translation.
All right.
Okay, so that's Romans 10, starting
5 through 12. Verse
okay.
5.
Most? Okay. Romans 10, verse 5 through 12. Moses describes in this way, that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. NIV version.
Amen. The New Living Translation, for Moses wrote the law, for Moses wrote that the law's way of making a person right with God requires obedience to all of its commands. But the way of getting right with God through faith says you don't need to go to heaven to find Christ and bring him down to help you. And it says you don't need to go to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again. Salvation that comes from trusting Christ, which is the message we preach, is already within easy reach. In fact, the scriptures say the message is close at hand. It is on your lips. It is in your heart. For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who believes in him will not be disappointed. Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They all have the same Lord who graciously gives his riches to all who ask for them. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I actually read through 13, Dr. Nooks.
Amen. That's fine. That's fine. So this confession is not a confession about sin, but it's a confession about Christ. But I wanted to read that first, and I wanted to point out that there's something that goes with confession. And what is that? And if you look at verse 9, what goes with the confession?
It's a belief.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, and we confess Christ, but if we don't have belief that goes with it, then what good is our confession?
And the reality, you know, of Dr. what it is that we do versus what God does. You know, we have to still trust that in the process of doing our part by confessing, that God is following through and giving us that which we confess. Because I hear a lot of people talking about, I've confessed, but I don't know that I've been saved. Yes, you do, because that's the piece of belief. Because whatever God does, God's part, but it's the faith and belief centered in Christ that is the righteousness that we receive for everybody who believes.
Well, back, Dr. Susie, can you make a – you said there are people that say that they confess, but they don't know if they've been saved?
Right. They will confess that they have a relationship. They'll confess that they accepted Christ. And then they'll say, but I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I'm going to heaven. Because there's some people who believe that you can go to church every day, you can confess, but you can't be sure – that you're saved. So the part with that is the faith piece. You got to believe in what you say. If you believe Christ, if you believe he died and rose again, as we read the whole scripture and confess, we've got to believe that the other part through confession is some results that come with that.
Well,
that
I agree, but
faith in.
Yeah, and so it sounds like to me, and just my observation, that those people are still trying to do it based on good works, that they're trying
Amen.
To work
their
way
in. They're
trying
to do it based on something that they can do, what they can do, and it's not about them, It's about understanding who God is and what God is doing. And see, that's the big thing about all of this. If it was about something that we could do, we wouldn't need Jesus. We wouldn't need God. But it's not about
Yeah, but
us.
We wouldn't see we wouldn't see God either.
There you go.
Amen.
And what I was going to add to this, because I really think this is a huge issue for us, is we struggle with that, I think, because it seems to be too easy. And you've heard me say this before, is that we don't believe that it really is as easy as confessing and believing. And at some point in time, you know, which doesn't matter, but having a public profession of a baptism. But here it says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
And most times we think that's too easy, and I was guilty of that. I'm not gonna lie about that. I was guilty of that. I couldn't mm-hmm. believe that if I did that based on the stuff I knew I had done that I really hadn't confessed, that God would make it that easy for me to be saved. And so I was believing that it was based upon me, and I could never be good enough. But someone helped me to realize that it wasn't about me. It's like Dr. Susie said, it ain't about us and what we do.
Amen.
It's about Christ and what he has done.
All right.
Amen. And Brother Eric, expound upon that a little more for our people that maybe are listening in. Because if you don't have the belief, and you said it earlier, then it's about works. So
yes.
Expound on that a little bit so people can maybe understand what that means.
So from my perspective, it is that and the Pharisees and the temple people always wanted to do works to prove that they believed in God. It was working in the temple. It was the bread on the table. It was just, you know, the wine and all of that stuff. It was always about what I could do. And today it's that kind of, well, you know, I do community service work. I go to the mission and I feed the homeless, or I give money to folks, or I and my church, we do this, we do this, we do this. And we're trying to earn to show that, you know, I'm a child of God and by all these works that I'm doing that. But you can get lost in doing the works and still not have a relationship with God. And for our salvation, it is that we accept that Jesus Christ, God's Son, who was perfect, became a sacrifice whose blood was shed on a cross. If most people remember, the most despicable way to die back then was on a tree, to hang on a tree, and Christ was nailed to a cross and crucified, and he willingly died. He had done nothing wrong. And he willingly died to pay the price so that if we would confess that Jesus is Lord through his act and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, because it wasn't just his death that brought us back to God. He had to be raised from the dead.
Amen.
To show he had all power over Satan, sin, the grave, and death, that he had all power. And that God had all power to raise him from the dead. And by that act showed the unconditional love that God had, that God and Jesus had for mankind. And so we need to accept that. And here's the piece for me, Dr. Nooks and Dr. Susie and everyone, is that, and y'all have heard me say this, and so if I truly accept that and I believe in that, then that spurs me on to do those good works. I'm doing them because of Christ Jesus and what he did for me. I'm not doing it to get to heaven. I'm doing it because Christ has already paid the price, and I want to
Amen.
Accept that gift, and I
Amen.
Want to do what I can for the gift giver who's given that ultimate gift. And
Amen.
that's the that that is the transition part that I think a lot of our brothers and sisters struggle with, is that it really is that easy. It really is that easy to be saved.
And this is Dr. Henry, and I want to say something about what you mentioned, Eric, and the issue is, what else is different about being a Christian is that we're unlike any other religion. And I'm not putting down any other religion. Tonight our discussion is pro-Christ. You know, we are Christians, so we talk about pro-Christ. But I'm not knocking anybody else. But what I am saying is that we are the only religion where our Savior has risen from the dead and is alive. And all
power.
And so as a result, we are empowered to have that same kind of life-giving power, the same kind of power that we get through being a Christian that God bestows upon us, to, you know, so that we can live that type of life that is victorious. So that's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
Well, Dr. Susie, you're absolutely right, but I also want to add is that is also the only religion where that Savior resides in you. You don't have to, you know, recite a bunch of stuff. You don't have to, you know, do penance and beat yourself and all that stuff. Is that once you accept and you've been changed, that Savior through the Holy Spirit resides in you, takes residence in you.
Amen.
So that you are a new creature.
Amen.
And what I want to tell the people that listen is that you become a new creature. You don't become a new creature all at once. It takes years of praying and worshiping and being in the Spirit for that to happen. Yes, it can happen overnight. It can't happen in the twinkling of an eye. God has all power to do that. But it mostly comes because our nature and our habits don't just go away.
Mm-hmm.
And they surface forever. And what made David a man after God's own heart was that David, and we're going to get to that, I'm sure Dr. Nooks, but David would confess.
Yes.
And if you don't think he would confess, read Psalms 51.
Yeah, that's part of our lesson. That was our scripture. Yeah, you're right.
And I guess I want to say it's taken many of us, and those of you who are listening, it takes many, many years at times for us to get to where we are, for us to build our resistance, for us not to have knowledge or know or to walk in faith and grace. So it's going to take some time. I'm not saying God can't do a special work in your life, but if you're just a, you know, average person, it will take some time because it took you a long time. You're 50 years old, for example, like me. I've been living this way, and so it's taken me a while to see God manifest in my life so that, not me, but I mean, I've been working on this journey for a while, but I'm saying for somebody who, if they were just to accept Christ, you know, as they are learning and believing and having faith and walking in that, it takes years of mastering walking in faith. I'm not saying, I know Lester would say, no, we do it right now. I'm not saying you don't do it right now, but I'm saying there are times when we may fall short. The more we do it, the more we read the scriptures, the more we have that word in us, the better off we'll be as far as being obedient. But it's a matter of will. And so I'm saying don't be hard on yourself. If you are a new believer and you're just starting, God will help you be where you need to be.
Amen. And Dr. Nooks, before you move on, can I give a testimony to that? Just recently. I had an employee that worked for me who caused me a lot of angst, but he would never do enough to get fired. And he one day walked in and said that he had found a new job, and he was giving me his 2 weeks notice. And I said, I'm happy for you, and you don't have to stay 2 weeks. I'll pay you for the next 2 weeks, and you can leave right now. And he went to work for the city, and he now monitors my programs. And doesn't bother me because I've got nothing to hide. I'm above board. Doesn't bother me at all. But I know what he caused me. I know what he did in trying to destroy the work that I've been doing. And this last Friday, I got an email that went over what the new administration wanted to cut out of the HUD budget, because that's where 85% of my funding comes from. And I read through there, and it didn't say anything about the programs that I'm running. But it did say something about the program that he moved into in the city. And it talks about eliminating that whole funding stream. And he just went over this, so that means that should that happen, he's going to be the first one to go. You know, the old saying, last one in, first one to go. Mm-hmm. And so when I read that and I realized that, I picked up the phone and I called one of my other staff members who he had caused some problems for as well. And we talked about it, not in a negative way, but we talked about it. But when I got off the phone, and here's the difference that I want people to listen to understand. Years and years ago, I would have just got off the phone and thought nothing about it. But the Lord pricked me and said, you didn't need to have that conversation. I'm really not looking for anything bad to happen to him. I want the best for him, even though he did try to do the stuff that he did. But the Lord pricked my heart and said, you didn't have to have that conversation. And I immediately realized that, Lord, you're absolutely right, that whatever happens to him is happening because you ordained it, so for whatever reason. And it may not include me. And I asked for forgiveness of that. Now, I haven't asked him for forgiveness, and I'll be perfectly honest with you. And the reason I haven't is because I perceived that I didn't go past the level that I needed to, but I absolutely needed to recognize what the Lord was telling me and accept that and say, I was wrong, forgive me. But years and years ago, I wouldn't have gone that far.
But Brother Eric,
and most of you know what I'm talking about.
I think that the Lord convicts us where we are.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe that. And so the Lord may have told somebody else to do something different, but God ministers and works with us where we are. And so we can trust that God is doing, you know what I'm saying, what's happening to us,
Absolutely.
And especially when we're walking in relationship with Bible study and prayer. And we don't get it twisted. We mess up now. We all mess up. But that's why God
that's is what I was trying to get
to discipline the children that God loves.
Amen. That's what I'm trying to get our listeners to understand is that we do mess up.
Amen.
And like Dr. Seuss, I've been on this journey for a long time, but still stumble. I still fall.
And
still
you need to
muddy,
be weary of anybody who tells you they don't mess up, Brother Eric.
Absolutely, Dr. Seuss. We all. Well, the scripture says we're all falling short. We're all filthy rags. We've all fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But what I mean by that is not that we used to fall short. See, as long as we're living in this body, we have the potential to sin and to fall short every day. So there's some people who elevate themselves and make themselves appear and to seem as though they never do anything falling. They never fall short. And that's only Jesus. Jesus not here anymore.
Absolutely.
Only Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Nurse, and I'm going to let you move on. But Dr. Nurse, isn't there a whole spiritual? I need thee, Lord, I need thee, every hour.
Every hour. I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Amen.
Yes,
Lord. Amen. Amen.
This is Brett.
Amen.
This is Brett.
Hey, Brother Brett.
Yeah, I just want to say one thing. For those that are just beginning their walk, or if you've been in the walk for a year or two, keep this in mind. I think this will probably clarify a lot of things. When you were out here in the street before you knew who God was, we recognize that as a carnal man. And then when you find Jesus, you become spiritual. And that's where the difference is, and that's where the conflict comes. One of the reasons why it's so hard for people to not realize that is so simple for you to become a Christian and for God to forgive you for your sins and stuff is simply because it is simple. It's nothing hard. The problem is that we fight with ourselves because we want to hang on to the old things of show me. I got to see proof. I got to know that this actually happened. Whereas on the spiritual side, we don't need to see it. We know in our heart and in our soul that this happened. We know that God is a spirit. And it says in the Bible, God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth.
And in truth.
Amen. You got to know that he is a spirit. You can't see the wind, but you know that it hits your face. You know you can see the wind moving on the grass, and when the trees bend in the storms and stuff, you know there's a wind. You breathe that air in order for you to live. And that's the way that we know that there is wind. It's the same way we should know that there is a God. Once you realize that God is a spirit, then you'll be able to move on with your life in a spiritual place that will take you to higher ground. A lot of people that have been walking in this spirit for a while, we all know. We don't have to worry about it. God will fight your battles for you. If you are a true believer,
amen, amen.
You
I'm
will find
that
you. Thank you. You don't. You will find that no matter who comes against you, it can be an ex-lover, an ex-wife. It could be a child that doesn't love you, but God will fix it. He will take care of it for you. I'm a witness.
Amen.
To that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I am too, Brett.
Can I get someone to read Psalm 32, 1 through 7? And many people have said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we're our righteousness is filthy rags. Psalm 32, 1 through 7. And then I'm going to want
32.
Somebody to find 1 John 1, 5 through 10. So you're going to do Psalm 32, and somebody can get 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Mark or Brett, do you have a Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, I got
okay.
Psalm 32.
Yeah. Then Brett, you can get 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Hopefully
First
we can
John
get through those
1,
two scriptures.
5 through 10.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And you want 1 through
1 through
7?
Yes.
New Living Translation. Oh, what joy for those whose rebellion is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sins, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Therefore, let all the godless confess their rebellion to you while there is time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory.
My Lord.
Hallelujah.
So how does it
Hallelujah.
Feel?
Hallelujah.
How does it feel when you confess? What does this say to you?
It is. Let me. I'm gonna tell you exactly how it should feel every time. Christmas of 1982. I was laying in bed. I had been praying and fasting and really trying to get close to God that whole year. I mean, literally, read my Bible at work and during lunches and, you know, starting to fast, you know, 3 days, this, that, and the other. And that particular morning, I had Christ visit me.
My Lord.
And when Christ left, I got this cool feeling sensations like I had just been cleaned and watered, the coldest, crispest water you could find.
Amen.
And that a whole weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders.
My Lord.
And that was, and I tell people, you know, that was my spiritual baptism that particular morning. My water baptism was June 26th in 1977, but that was my spiritual baptism. And so every time you confess and the Lord forgives you, that's the feeling you should get, that it's gone, it's taken care of.
And
you don't have to worry about it, that it's been lifted away.
And this kind
and
of
that is a good feeling.
Amen. This kind of addresses the issue. You know, people, like in Psalm 139, we know that God sees everything we do. There's nothing that we can do that God doesn't see, doesn't know. So then why should we confess? I mean, if God knows everything, he sees everything.
But the confession is for us.
I wanted to speak on something.
Amen.
What jumped out at me and what that reminded me of is, oftentimes, people, when we read in the scripture and it says that we are righteous or we are something like that, and people get caught up and say, I'm not righteous. I'm not, you know, but what this is really saying, what it's really about is what Christ has imputed to us. The fact that, you know, the psalmist is saying they receive God's forgiveness for their sin and they express joy over there and they're blessed because according to the way God sees them, and this is how we need to start operating. And that's in the way that God sees us. God saw that person with an untarnished life. That God saw that person as without sin and righteous because they have been forgiven. And that's the key.
Amen.
It's not about us. It's about what God is doing that attributes to us that righteousness, what God is doing to forgive us fully. Because God doesn't count a truly penitent person sins against them. That's the whole reason for confessing and going to the Lord and being in relationship with God, is the freedom that comes from the fact that God orchestrates this.
Yeah, and absolutely, Dr. Susie, in verse 5 says, finally I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone.
My
so the confession, God already knows, but the confession is for us to be living an honest life in our authentic relationship with God, that we
all
are
right.
telling God, yep, I did that. I messed up. You're right. It was me. You know, I deserve whatever punishment you give me, but I'm confessing, asking that you forgive me. Yes, Dr. Susan.
Well, Brother Eric, we're talking about confession. We're talking about David, and David was a man after God. You know, David wrote some of the Psalms, but we're talking about a man who was after God's own heart because he did that very thing. He didn't run away from God when he messed up. He ran to God. Hallelujah. Because he knew that's where his strength and his help would come from.
All right.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, it says that, you know, when I didn't confess, you know, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. I was weak and miserable. And we live these defeated lives and we don't understand why, but it's because we're not doing those things. We're doing those things that are not pleasing to God. And we're not coming before God and confessing that and saying, yep, I realize I did it. We're not being convicted to the point to where we're openly willing to discuss it.
Amen.
Even with God.
Amen.
So unconfessed sin can do a job on you, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Tell it now.
It can really mess with you. And I think this is a great message. Just text this. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Someone.
Yeah. See, that's something that I've always had a problem with, because no matter where you are or what you're doing, God sees what you're doing.
Amen.
You can't hide from him. So since he sees it, why do people have such a problem confessing? what is it that keeps us from wanting to tell God what we did? Because, see, he already knows. He's just waiting to see if you're going to lie to him or if you're going to tell him the truth.
Our Lord.
And you know, what we have to remember to do, though, as a believer, we can't, I mean, and it bothers me, I'm thinking about this friend of mine that I know, is that, you know, we can't walk around, and this is for new believers, please, be authentic in your relationship with God. Be true
Amen.
To who you are. So don't just go pretending one minute, you know, you're going to cuss and claim to be, you know, you can't be a child of God and have behavior that mimics the world. That's a, as Brother Brett was saying, a carnal Christian, C-A-R-N-A-L. God doesn't want us to be carnal. He wants us to be steadfast and immovable, to be one who is relying and totally trusting in God. But to be a person that stays in the same place all the time, you have a potty mouth, you got potty behavior, you got potty attitude, you don't change your behavior, and yet you want to call yourself a child of God? That's not true. You got to walk the
all
walk
right.
and talk the
Amen.
Amen.
And Christ told them, be ye holy because I am holy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And acknowledge when you fall short. We all fall short.
Well, you
got to
do that. You absolutely got to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So confession is all a part of, is a part of that process of
Amen.
Growth and releasing some of that pain that you're feeling and guilt. Realizing that we all sin and we aren't all fully grown when we confess Christ and give our lives to Christ. We need some time to grow. And that's what when we hear the term working out your own salvation, own soul salvation, that's a work that we need to do to grow, to be more
Amen.
Like Christ. But confession is such a key to that. And there might be somebody out there that's holding on to something right now. You've done something in your life, and maybe it's just eating at you and tearing at you, and you have a bad attitude. I mean, you just can't find peace. Confess it to God. And the Scripture says
it'll
set
you free.
Set you free. Amen.
Amen.
And let me, Dr. Nooks, with your permission, before we move on to 1 John, let me read the rest of 32, 8 through 11. So we know
okay.
we're talking about confession and you know, then the psalmist said, you know, for you are my hiding place. In 7, you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. And then 8 through 11 goes on to say, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best path for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Don't be like a senseless mule, a senseless horse or mule who needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad. All you who obey him, shout for joy. All you whose hearts are pure.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's try to read 1 John 1, 5 through 10. Brett, you have that for us.
Yes. Okay. This is from the New International Version. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
That's right.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his world is not in us.
Our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That's pretty explanatory.
That's the kind of stuff that makes you want to say, get back on your feet and say, Lord, did you hear me? I fell short.
My Lord.
I grew up with that.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up with that. My dad preached that many a time on a Sunday.
Amen. So what is it?
But how? Go ahead, Dr.
How should we be living if we are in the light?
Come on now.
Well, this is Eric. We should be living as though we are living to please God, knowing that we fall short. And when we fall short, we need to own it and confess it.
Amen.
We don't need to be trying to hide it. We don't need to be trying to give false facts or false alternative facts, rather.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
There you go.
You know, we need to own it. We need to call it what it is, and we need
Amen.
To seek God's forgiveness in that process. And in seeking God's forgiveness is confessing that sin that we've done and that way that we've been living and those things that we are doing. And we need to own it.
Amen.
I am so, you know, Brett, thank you for reading it out of that version because that really hit home. Because I am so discouraged when you look at our political leaders and you ask them a question and you already know the truth of the answer and the stuff that they come up with. to try to make it like they seem like no, that's not it. Those alternative facts.
Yes.
You know, I mean, and just the simple stuff. I mean, you know, we talking about this new healthcare and what it's going to do, and the people writing it know what it's going to do. Oh no, that's not what it's going to do. We're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. But yet you can't stand forward enough to tell that all these people are going to lose, all these people are going to have higher premiums, all these people over the age of 60 are going to do X, Y, Z.
Come on.
Yes.
And what you're really doing is lying. Let's just call it
Amen.
What it is. You lying to the American public.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're supposed to, you know, accept that. And I'm like, man, I'm Dr. Susan, I had this conversation the other day when she was checking on me. Come, Jesus, come now.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Right now.
Even
I'm ready.
Come
right
Lord
now.
Jesus.
Yep. Right now.
Yeah.
This Tuesday evening at 6:52 Central, you know, Central Time. Come now.
But there's another interview. Do we confess one time, and is that all the confession we need to have?
No.
Those that are on the line? Okay.
No.
No.
So every time you know, every time you convict it.
Amen. Amen. So it's okay.
And you need to ask forgiveness. And you need to not just confess to God, but like Eric was saying earlier, ask forgiveness as many times as you mess up, you know.
Absolutely.
So it's not okay to just do it and say, oh, well, I said something early again. I ain't going to say it no more.
Right.
Well, if you mess up again, it's okay. Every time you mess up, you need to say I'm sorry. Or Lord, and you know
there
what?
You go.
Then we're talking about not just saying I'm sorry to God, but see, we forget that we're supposed to do, to treat people. Our relationship with God is directly is it inversely proportional? Is that the word, Dr. Nook?
It
to
should
what,
be directly
to
proportional.
With other people. Directly proportional.
Yeah.
Directly proportional to how we interact with people.
Amen.
We need to understand.
Yes.
We can't think that we're going to be in relationship with God and then treat people any kind of way, or treat people any kind of way
absolutely.
And think that God is in relationship with us and it's okay. It absolutely is not.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
It reminds me of the guy that was praying one morning. He said, "Lord, you know, thank you and bless me for waking up, and I can truly confess that I haven't talked about anybody, I haven't had any bad thoughts, I haven't cussed anybody out, but yet I haven't gotten out of bed either yet."
There you go.
Amen. Amen.
You know.
Woo.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brett.
Go ahead, Brett. I'm sorry.
Okay, I just want to say something that has always stuck with me ever since I was probably about 10 or so. But verse 7, when it talks about when we fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, his son, and the next thing it says, purifies us, that has always stuck with me because when you can do something and you can go to God and Jesus and ask them to forgive you, that purifies your soul. That purifies
Amen.
Everything that you've done. It's just like, I don't know how many people that are listening have a whole house water filter, but keep in mind, your city purifies that water that comes out of the stream that's dirty, that's got sewage and everything else in it, and it gets it to a level that we can drink it safely. But when you add a whole house water filter on there, that purifies it even more. That takes out some more chemicals that your body may react to or whatever. And that's what Jesus is doing for us. He is purifying us so that we can walk
Amen.
In the light. So that
Amen.
We don't have to worry about looking over our shoulders, see who's trying to get us or who's chasing after us or you know, if the police is behind us or if you got Donald Trump behind you or whatever. I mean, the thing is, it's that it lightens your burdens that you have in your life. It takes
Amen,
away
Brett.
It takes away all that darkness that feels like somebody's pressing you down and holding you back, where sometimes you just don't feel like getting out of the house. The guy will take all that away from you, and he will allow you to get out there and start running the marathon. God is so great, he's so good, but we have got to come to him, and we got to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's it.
Amen.
I just wanted to say in verse 7, I also wanted to point out that then we have fellowship with each other. And I think
Amen.
Earlier it was pointed out that we need to confess to each other if we've done somebody wrong. We need to practice that also, and that is also liberating. If you've done
Amen.
Something to offend your wife or your husband or a friend and you know you've done something wrong, confess it. Say, I'm sorry. And that this is very hard for us to do, but it's liberating also to be able to do that. So we want to have fellowship with one another also. So this is what verse 7 is saying when we confess. And Dr.
Amen.
Susie is... Any other comments, Dr. Nooks?
Yeah, Dr. Nooks, this is Eric. I want to go ahead and read 28:13, and then, you know, we can go
okay.
because I think this is key, which is why you had it in there. And
yes.
This is Proverbs 28:13. People who cover
yes.
up their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and forsake them, they will receive mercy.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful.
Absolutely.
Amen. So if there's something that's holding you back and you're not prospering, maybe there's something you need to confess. Stop confessing.
Take it to the
and
Lord.
See, and this, Dr. Susie, and to see confession as a positive part of your daily walk, not as something to be feared, but something to be embraced. As we seek to walk towards wholeness, confession is that which helps move us closer to God and to our brothers and sisters. It's not something we got to be embarrassed about, ashamed about. You know, if somebody wants to put that on you, don't receive that. That's the enemy saying that to you to keep you from being able to grow. So, you know, keep moving forward in faith, trusting that God will give you everything that you need and to take you every place that you need to go.
Amen.
Amen. It's about 8 o'clock now, Dr. Susie.
All right. Brother Mark, would you close us in prayer? But are you on the phone, Mark?
Yes.
Is he on mute?
I'm here.
Brother Mark, are you on mute? Okay, if you would close us in prayer, but before we go, can we get prayer requests and praise reports? I would like to say thank you to those of you who are praying for me. I was getting the opportunity. Something came up regarding my ability to apply for certification, and I thought I wasn't going to get to. But God fixed it where I am going to get to. So I'm sending it in, and I ask that you have prayers over it so that I do get the certification and that my papers are well received. Asking as well to begin to pray for job opportunities, not just job opportunities, but ministry, because Dr. Susie is tired of moving around. I want to get settled in Jesus' name. But we'll be obedient to whatever God says.
Ask
James Christian, praise report. He did a great job. He did a video that's part of his new area that he's working on at school, and he's asking again for support and prayers. He did a great job. I got affirmation from his instructor, and asking prayers for Ted and continued support for our family. And I just want to thank you for lifting up Sean as well. Shawnette Brown and those of us, the other people who are on the Bible study, ask prayer for Dr. William Edwards and the region and our church, the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. We have a new person who is the our minister and president, and you know who it is, right, Eric? Terry Owen. She's one of the first black president of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, female. And she is a new nominee. So asking that you would be prayerful for our church.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Eric. I want to thank everybody for praying for me and my health, and we're working that out. And also my wife has had surgery, and we're going back to the doctor tomorrow. Some knee issues, but continue to lift us up that we would get healthy and whole. Getting old is not for sissies.
See.
Amen.
Amen. Nor is being a Christian. Amen. Is there any other prayer requests?
Always remember me in prayer. Yeah.
Amen. Brother Mark, we just thank you for your testimony last week, and we know that God is doing a good thing, and we just praise the Lord for it. We ask prayers for Brother Lester as well, and he's not with us tonight, but he'll be doing the Bible study next month, so we ask for prayer for him up front. And Brother Mark, if you would please close us in prayer. You have to get off mute. And if he can't do
thank
it.
You for you. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you.
Good Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for each and every voice that you hear. We thank you for each and every life that you touch. We ask in the name of Jesus that you continue to bless this lesson, this group, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you extend your arms around us, that you surround us with your love, that you allow us to expand our territory, that you allow us that as we are blessed, that we bless others. We ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bless Dr. Susie. We ask that you bless her, and we thank you right now for blessing her with a job. We thank you for blessing Sydney, and Lord, we thank you for blessing her family. We thank you for all that you're going to do for her and that what you've done. We thank you for blessing Lester and Lester Carver Design Studios. We thank you for the contracts that have come in and that will come in. We thank you for just the favor that you placed on his life. We thank you for blessing Sean. We ask that you bless her with employment opportunities. We ask that you bless Dr. William Edwards. And Lord, we ask that you continue to bless Eric and his health. We thank you for having him on the line, Jesus. Lord, you are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, you are the one, the only one that can heal our bodies. And we give you goodness and we give you praise for all that you've done. We ask that you continue to bless Dr. Nooks and all that he does in his work and the people that he touches in his lives. We ask in the name of Jesus that you have your way and let your will be done. Lord, we live in times where many times we don't understand what we see, Jesus, but our faith is in you, Jesus. All that we look for, all that we do is solely dependent on you, Jesus. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you touch this president, that you touch his heart, or that you touch his mind, body, and spirit, Jesus. Lord, you ask us to pray for our enemies to despitefully use us. You've asked us, Lord, to pray for those who would even give harm to us, Jesus. Lord, we ask that you take away our fears, our doubts, our despairs, Lord, and give us a sense of peace and grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for that which you've done and that which you're going to do. We count it all done. We count all the blessings of finance, all the blessings of jobs, all the blessings to expand the territory, all the blessings of healing. We call it done. Lord, it's an awesome privilege to be in relationship with you. We do things on a regular basis. But Lord, we thank you just that you hear our voices, our supplications. Bless us this day. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Bless
you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.